السلام علیکم ورحمۃ اللہ وبرکاتہ. الحمد للہ رب العالمین والصلاة والسلام الاتمان الاکملان علی خیر خلق اللہ اجمعین وعلی آلہ واصحابہ ومن سار علی سبیلہ ونہجہ ومن استن بسنته ومن اهتدى بهديه الى يوم الدين اما بعد، وقد قال تعالى في قرآن المجيد والفرقان الحميد: اعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، يا ايها الذين امنوا اذكروا الله ذكرا كثيرا وسبحوه بكرة واصيلا صدق الله العظيم. All praise and all thanks only due to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, yet again has given us the beautiful opportunity of being in the most mubarak places in the sight of Allah, and it is the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in the most mubarak month after the month of Ramadan, the month of Shaban. So this is a great ni'mat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which we start off by thanking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for. And in the last few weeks, we have been speaking about the preparation that takes place before the month of Ramadan. Naturally, when anything is prepared, when anything big is made, when any work is done, there's some preparation that is done before the work is done. For example, person wants to build a building or a house, so the land itself is first prepared. That land may have been slopy, it may have been stony, there may have been some problems with the landscaping. So all that needs to be corrected before the building can be put up. If there's foundations that needed to be put, the foundations will be put. If there's piling that is needed, the piling will be done. And now the building will come up. Similarly, if there's a room that needs to be painted, first there's a scraping off of the old paint that needs to be done, and then the new coat is put. Like that, if there's tiling to be done on the wall, so the preparation work starts, and then the tile now is fixed onto the wall. So like that, the preparation for the month of Ramadan, we explained, was one is to clean the heart, continuously making istighfar, tawbah, asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to forgive us for our past, so that now this heart is clean. Before the month of Ramadan, this person is engaging in tawbah and istighfar. Therefore, we had this great night that had passed, the night the Shab-e Barat, the night that had passed, the night when Allah Pak was forgiving people, Allah Pak was freeing people, many people, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala freeing from the fire of Jahannam and forgiving many people. So this is all part of the architecture and the preparatory work that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has put in place for every person. And then the next thing is, after that preparation work starts now, now comes the actual painting and the actual doing and the actual building. So today we'll speak of two qualities that a person should try and bring in his life. Ramadan will come to just try and expedite, to act as a springboard to bring these qualities into a person's life. But at every given time, a person should see that he has these two good qualities in his life. One is dawami ta'at. All the time a person is looking to see, am I making Allah happy? Am I in the obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? What am I doing? Is Allah Pak being happy with my action? Or am I doing something that will displease Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? This now is known as dawami ta'at. All the time a person is checking, introspecting, is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala happy with me? He's driving on the road, and now a person needs to go across, person needs to walk across. Now does he suddenly rush, or he thinks to himself, if I give this person a chance to go across, I give this person a chance to turn, will Allah Pak get happy with me? What will make Allah Pak more happy? So now he gives a person a chance to go across. He wants to take off with his employee. He wants to swear somebody. He wants to use abusive language. He asks himself, what will make my Allah happy? If I use this abusive language, if I be disrespectful, will that make Allah happy? Or rather, I just keep quiet. I swallow my anger. Will that make Allah Pak happy? So continuously a person is asking himself, what is the thing that is going to make Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala happy? Continuously he has to check his intention. And this intention is a very strange thing. That at times a person may think that I'm doing something for a very good purpose. Let me swear this person. Let me teach him a lesson. But sometimes it's to appease himself and to make himself happy. He doesn't even realize it. So now a person has to check his nafs. Am I getting any pleasure out of doing this? Or am I doing whatever I'm doing it for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Hazrat Shaykh Zakariya rahmatullah alayhi, he makes mention in Fazail Sadaqat of an incident. That there was a very pious person. This pious person would be in the worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. One day somebody had came to him and told him that there are people that are worshipping a certain tree. The people are worshipping this tree. So he got very furious, he got extremely upset that how can people worship a tree instead of worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So he sets out with his axe to go and chop that tree. So on the way, as he's going, Shaitan came to stop him. Shaitan came in the form of a sheikh, of an old man, of an old person. Shaitan came there to stop him. Shaitan said, where are you going? He said, asked him. So this person, this pious person replied, the people are worshipping a certain tree. I'm going to chop this tree. So Shaitan tried to stop him and told him that I won't let you go there. I won't let you do such a thing. So now immediately he wrestles with Shaitan and he drops Shaitan. And then Shaitan now is trying to explain to him and telling him that you are such a pious person. People know you for your piety. You don't need to do this. It's not faraz for you to go and chop the tree. And if it was something that was faraz, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would have sent a prophet to come and do that work. You need to obey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, make his zikr, make his ibadah. Don't get involved in all these type of things. So now this person, he told Shaitan, he's explaining to Shaitan why he had that ikhlas in his heart, that he was doing it for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He tells Shaitan that this is also my duty, that people are doing wrong, I have to stop them from doing wrong. So now this person, after he wrestled Shaitan see that he's got no chance. So then he says, okay, I'll make one deal with you. I'll make one deal. But before he could make the deal, he's trying to convince him. And he told him, see here, if you chop this tree, there's so many other trees here. People will still go and they'll worship another tree. He said, I'm not interested. They are doing wrong. It is my duty to stop people from doing wrong. So then Shaitan told him, okay, now I'm going to do one deal with you. What deal? That I will give you two, every night I will put two dinars, two gold coins under your pillow. Under your pillow. And what you can do, your family will be taken care of. You can make the ibadat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You don't have to worry about your income. Your income is sorted out. Now his mind started changing. Two things are there that changes a person's mind, changes a person's thinking. The person, you may have known him when he was poor. He was a very humble man. When money comes to a person, suddenly the person's thinking, his outlook, his approach to people changes. Very often this happens. That when a person was not known, then he was also, his humility was there. When money came, suddenly this person's behavior is different. So two things change the behavior of a person. One is woman and one is wealth. So for therefore when we see www, then we must think to ourselves, woman and wealth is a web. What kind of a web? It catches a person. So these two things actually change a person's thinking. So now when Shaitan put that offer in front of him in the form of the sheikh, this person here, that every night I will put two gold coins under your pillow, you are sorted out. Now he started thinking in his mind, hey, you know what he's saying is right. I'm not a prophet. I don't need to go and chop the tree down. It is not faraz on me. I rather just enjoy my ibadah, do my ibadah, do my worship. Plus I'll be getting two gold coins. I'll be sorted out. What do I need to put myself under all this pressure? He agreed to the deal. The two gold coins I'll be getting every night and I won't chop this tree. First night went, he found these two gold coins under his pillow. He said, hey, what a good deal I did. Such a smart deal. Yeah, I'm doing the ibadah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and plus my income is sorted out. First night went, he found his two gold coins. Second night went, he found his two gold coins. Third night came, there were no gold coins. Now again he got upset, extremely upset that I've been deceived by this person. So he sets out again with his axe to go and chop that tree. On the way again he meets Shaitan in the form of this old person. So again he says, no, I'm going to stop you. I'm stopping you from what you're doing. So he says, no way, I'm going to cut the tree this time. You let me down. Again they have a wrestling match. This time that old man in the form of Shaitan, one shot he wrestled him down. So now he was surprised. He said, just a few days back, I wrestled you so easily, I dropped you, and you made this deal with me, and now suddenly you have dropped me, overpowered me. He said, you see, 2 days ago, you were doing it for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Therefore you came, you were going, and therefore you overpowered me, because your niyat was right. You were correct in your niyat. You were doing it for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now you're coming, you're doing it because you didn't get those two gold coins. Your niyat is no longer for the sake of Allah, therefore Allah's help is not with you. So therefore a person has to continuously check his niyat, that what is my niyat? Coming into the month of Ramadan also, person will be doing many things. Every time ask myself, every person should ask himself, that what is my niyat? Am I doing it to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or am I doing it to show people? So the first thing is dawam ta'at. All the time a person is in the obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And when a person, an easy way to bring this, inculcating this into his life, is a person must appreciate the kudrat, the grandeur of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When some of the ayats of the Quran, Allah Pak mentions, Allahu ya'lamu ma tahmilu kullu untha, wa ma taghidu al-arhamu wa ma tazdad. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is fully aware of everything. So a person should think to himself that Allah is completely aware of everything. If I'm going to do 1 inch of good, my Allah will come to know of it, it will please Him. If I'm going to do anything bad, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will be aware of it. So So this ayat Allah Pak says that He's fully aware of everything that every woman carries. What a woman is carrying, every woman, in the adult, she's pregnant, what she's carrying, وَمَا تَغِيدُ الْأَرْحَامُ وَمَا تَزْدَادُ, what the womb decreases and what the womb increases. What is meant by this, what the womb decreases, is whether the child will be full term, whether the child will be half term, whether the child will be premature, is only in the knowledge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Whether that womb will increase it, give twins, that's in the knowledge of Allah. Whether it will be triplets, in the knowledge of Allah. Or whether it will be a child that is not even born, that is also in the knowledge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What abilities, what capabilities the child has, all in the knowledge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There was an incident of one person that had come to the madrasa to meet my ustad, Hazrat Mufti Sahab. Maybe over 30 years ago this was. This person came, initially him and his wife, and he came there to the madrasa crying. Husband and wife crying. Why are they crying? Because they had a child. Child was born that was Down syndrome. And the doctor told him that this child is going to be, unfortunately, a cabbage. It's going to be a cabbage. You know, can't make this child's, this child's mental ability is very, very poor, very low. So any parent would be sad. Just to see a child sick is difficult on the parents. Imagine coming to know that the child lifelong will be a cabbage. So now they came crying that what dua can we read? What can we do to help this child? We hate to see our child in this condition. So he mentioned, my ustad mentioned a dua that make this dua for this child. That, oh Allah, every child in the world that has got a similar problem, oh Allah, you cure that child of this problem. Every child in the world that has got a similar problem, oh Allah, you cure the child of this problem. Now why? Because there's a hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam that when a person makes dua for his brother in his absence, person makes dua for his brother in his absence, fi dhahril ghayb, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala appoints an angel that says, walaka bimithlin, for you be the same. Whatever dua you're making for your brother in his absence, for you be the same. Now if a person is making dua for every child in the world that has this type of sickness, can you imagine how many angels will making dua for him and saying, walaka bimithlin, for you be the same. This is, by the way, just on a side note, very often people on the chat, when they like to make dua aloud, no harm in making dua by person sending a chat and making dua, but the better thing to do is in the absence of the brother, take out time and make dua for him. Then one is you're showing him you're making dua, no harm in doing that, but the better thing to do is take out time and make dua for the person in his absence. For this, there's special reward. Why? There's more ikhlas in it. There's no chance that you're trying to impress anybody with your duas. You're impressing only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by making dua. So anyway, this brother comes after 30 years, he comes back now. He took the dua and he went away. After 30 years, he comes, he says, do you recognize who I am? He says, I don't recognize him, not clearly, but your face looks a little bit familiar. He says, 30 years ago, myself and my wife had come crying that we had this child, we had this child. This child was down, a cabbage, and we had no hope for the child. He says, now I want to tell you something, that out of all my children, this is the most intelligent child. And out of all my children, this child is the most prosperous child. This child had become a Hafiz al-Quran. And out of all my children, this is the most pious child of mine. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala changed it overnight. So there's nothing difficult for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَمَا تَغِيدُ الْأَرْحَامُ وَمَا تَزْدَادُ وَكُلُّ شَيْءٍ عِنْدَهُ بِمِقْدَارٍ. Everything that Allah Pak gives is measured. Person not getting it now, he shouldn't be sad. Allah Pak gives everything at his appointed time. Person just has to be measured. عَالِمُ الْغَيْبِ وَالشَّهَادَةِ الْكَبِيرُ الْمُتْعَالِ. He's fully aware of everything. الْكَبِيرُ الْمُتْعَالِ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is magnificent. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is elevated. سَوَاءٌ مِّنْكُمْ مَنْ أَسَرَّ الْقَوْلَ وَمَنْ جَهَرَ بِهِ وَمَنْ هُوَ مُسْتَخْفٍ بِالْلَيْلِ وَسَارِبٌ بِالنَّهَارِ. It is same to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala when the two people are talking softly. They're whispering one side. We can't hear it here because they are whispering. But to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it's same if two people are talking softly or somebody is speaking loudly. To Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it makes no difference. It's exactly the same. His knowledge encompasses everything. مُسْتَغْفِمْ بِاللَّيْلِ وَسَارِبٌ بِالنَّهَارِ. The person is hiding in the dark. Think about it. Load shedding. Completely dark. One person is hiding somewhere in one corner. Nobody can see him. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it's the same. That person and one person walking openly in the daylight, in a soccer field, in front of everyone. To Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that person that's hiding in the dark, and that person that is walking openly, to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is exactly the same. سواء منكم من أسر القول ومن جهر به ومن استخف بالليل وسارب بالنهار له معقبات من بين يديه ومن خلفه يحفظونه من أمر الله. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala appoints an angel to guard every person. It's a pity that because of our sins and because of our guna, those angels that are being sent there also to guard us, we are sending those angels away. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala save us. Anyway, time is run out, but inshallah maybe we can continue on this. So there are two qualities that we need to bring before the month of Ramadan. The first is dawame ta'at. We'll speak about the other one next time. The other is kasrat dhikr. All the time a person is spending in the dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There should never be a moment where a person is not making the dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Every moment a person is taking the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the month of Ramadan is very easy. It's not something hard. Take the Quran Sharif and read. Any free time we have, take out the Quran and read. Any time we have, after Salah, before Salah, take out some time. This morning we did the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had told Sahaba, and one night it was, that they had waited for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was busy, had some work with one Sahabi, so he delayed in coming for the Salah. So it was Isha Salah, so the Sahaba were waiting in the masjid. They would wait for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to come, then they would stand up for Salah. So they were waiting for him to come. It was almost midnight. And then Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had come for Salah. Then after Salah, the Isha Salah, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told them, إِنَّكُمْ فِي صَلَاتٍ مَنْ تَذَرْتُمُ الصَّلَاةِ, that you people have been in Salah so long as you were waiting for Salah. In other words, the fact that you had come early and you were waiting for Salah, you had been in Salah, you were getting rewarded as though you were in Salah. So in the month of Ramadan, if we come early for Salah and we are waiting for Salah, we shouldn't be upset. We shouldn't feel annoyed with ourselves that why do we have to wait so long? The longer we wait for Salah, the longer we are getting reward of being in Salah itself. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us all the tawfiq of making amal. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillah.